So we are very excited. We have a great guest for you tonight. I have been super excited about this topic because it's probably one that I really need to hear. I have definitely been accused of being too serious in my life. And so very excited to have Pragito Dev, founder of the Laughing Buddhas Network, with us here tonight, talking about helping us to discover the power of laughter meditation. So we all have heard about how meditation is so important in all the studies and things like that. So we're going to find out tonight how laughter can change our lives, revitalize our energy and well-being, bring anxiety relief, how it can open your heart to love and happiness and much more. So that sounded like a lot to me. So I am very intrigued to hear tonight all the different ways that we can be healed and helped and enrich our journeys this way. Pragito Dev is, just to tell you a little bit about her background, she is a master trainer, speaker, and meditation expert who teaches people how to transform pain and anxiety. I mean, that's pretty powerful, to transform pain and anxiety into joy and inner peace in order to achieve real-world success. She's a best-selling author and laughter meditation advocate. She founded the Laughing Buddhas Network to make success and happiness accessible to all. Her website is so take this down so you can go check her out as we listen to all the great things she's going to share with us tonight. She has a great website, and there's some video clips and things too. So it's www.discovermeditation.com. That's just like it sounds. Discover, D-I-S-C-O-V-E-R, meditation, M-E-D-I-T-A-T-I-O-N, all one word, .com. So we'll announce that. It's on the website from the posting for the show, and then we'll also announce it again as we go along. But Pragito, are you with us?
I am, and I'm delighted to be here this evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. I'm so intrigued, like I said, about the topic, and probably so in need of being your best student here. how did you come to learn about this laughter meditation?
Well, I had a very painful and difficult childhood, and as I was growing up through my teens and early 20s, I was really seeking a way to heal myself. And I heard about the laughter meditation and also about all the other expressive meditation techniques that I teach through some friends. And I traveled to India to the meditation resort of who turned out to be my teacher, Osho. And that's where I first did the laughter meditation. And I thought it was crazy when I first started doing it, because I had never laughed just for the sake of laughing. Because the way I was raised was you had to be laughing, you know, at something like a stand-up comedian, or you'd laugh at a joke. And then also, I wasn't allowed to laugh too much. I was told to shut up and keep quiet, and you're laughing too loud, and so on.
Wow.
So to find this meditation where we just make a deliberate practice of just laughing, there's no talking, nobody's a stand-up comedian, we just laugh together, was a revelation to me. And I couldn't believe how powerful it was to heal myself from all the pain and anxiety I'd experienced as a child. And it opened me up to the most unbelievable possibilities of joy that I'd ever experienced in my whole life. And it blew my mind, frankly.
You know what? I want to repeat that, because to me, just hearing those words that you said were very powerful. It opened you up to the possibility of joy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I can still remember it now as I talk about it. And it was probably about 30 years ago that I first experienced this feeling that, I could laugh for as long as I wanted to with it was like the meditation technique gave me permission. See, I'd never had permission to laugh. And the meditation technique gave me permission. And not only permission, but also I was learning, because I was also studying there to become a teacher of all these techniques. I was also learning the benefits of laughter, which are extraordinary. It's just amazing how many benefits laughter has for us, for body, mind, heart, and soul.
Mm.
There's many dimensions to laughter that we might not necessarily at first think about.
Do you want to share that with us? Because I'm my analytical brain's trying to figure out what all the benefits, you know, are.
Well, I'll start with our bodies, the health, because that's the first step. And what laughter does is it's a release of stress. Uh-huh. And it helps the body express often the inexpressible. That's why we laugh, because we can't talk anymore. We just burst out laughing. And so laughter is very good for the physical body, because it helps release all those tensions. And just feel good, doesn't it? I mean, everybody feels good after a good laugh. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, you know, what happens is when we laugh, it stimulates the neurotransmitters in the brain, specifically one called dopamine, and that's the feel-good hormone. And so that's one that we, you know, when you've got the dopamine going, you feel good all over and you get that euphoric feeling. And so laughter, you know, has been said that it's the best medicine there is.
Yes.
And there are people who have actually cured themselves from serious diseases and disorders with laugh therapy. So I'm a big proponent of laughter medicine. So I'm excited to have you here to talk to us more about, you know, this laughter meditation, to learn more about that. Can you explain the point of the expressive meditation technique that you're talking about? You know, the little bit more about that.
Yeah, I just had never heard. I've heard about insight meditation and different types of meditation, and it's fascinating. It makes so much sense. Expressive meditation techniques. What is that? Where does laughter meditation? I didn't realize that you really, I mean, you went to India to study that. That's fantastic.
Yes, it was an amazing experience. And the expressive techniques, most of them have two stages, and I'll take the laughter meditation as the example, because it's the most fun example. So the first stage of laughter meditation, we just laugh. And that's the expression, the
okay.
releasing of stress, and as you so rightly said, helping to heal the body and the mind. And the second stage, we sit in silence. So what is happening is it's not very easy for people these days, for a lot of people, to just sit in silence, because the mind's going a million miles an hour. There's all kind of emotional turmoil. Maybe the body's fidgety. And so it's not easy to just sit in silence, as it was in the days of Gautama the Buddha 25 centuries ago. And so what the expressive techniques do is they give a meditation context to expressing this inner tension, so we can get it out. So in the second stage, it's much easier to drop down into inner stillness and inner silence, and drop down to our center and feel that amazing inner peace which we all have within us.
And you know, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. That makes a lot of sense to me, what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that then the inner peace, for example, especially when you've done the laughter meditation, and the inner silence is filled with joy, because the laughter, when you focus on, mostly laughter is an outward activity, which we're doing with other people. But in the second stage, when you just close your eyes and go inside, then you feel on the inside the benefits of the laughter, which is this warm, fuzzy feeling, I call it. You just feel very warm and good and filled with joy. And that helps people to want to continue to have a meditation practice, rather than finding it difficult and a bit grim and austere. It makes it fun, and it frankly makes it easier.
You know, that makes a tremendous amount of sense from a scientific standpoint, too, when we talk about the brain, the neurotransmitters, the hormones, because laughter stimulates the feel-good hormone.
Yes.
And so here you have stimulated that in the form of the expressive part of that meditation technique, and then you get to sit there in silence. What a great way to follow that up, to actually get full benefit of that feel-good hormone in the body. And it allows the body to be calm and just sit there in that joy state you're talking about. So that makes perfect sense to me energetically as well, because laughter helps to vibrate the energy centers as well until they begin to resonate at one.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
so there's
exactly.
a tremendous amount of healing that goes with that.
Yes, yes. It brings
That's so
a harmony.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. It really does make sense, and I think that's why it's the most popular of all the meditation techniques I teach, and I think that people find it very easy to do, and of course it's fun, but at the same time there's so many powerful benefits.
Wow.
And it also helps to heal the heart and open the heart, because when we're laughing, laughter is kind of synonymous with love. You know, when you're laughing, you can't hate people when you're laughing with them. Or be planning.
That is so true. See, you already got me laughing.
Or be planning some kind of revenge strategy, you know, when you're laughing together.
That's true.
I sometimes have this vision of, you know, all the politicians in different parts of the world, if they could just laugh together before they had their meetings. I mean, you can't think about dropping bombs on people when you're laughing with them.
Wouldn't it be incredible to see those soldiers going up against each other instead of killing each other? They just have a laughter party with each other.
Yes, yes, and that's all part of my vision for humanity, for sure. Because you know, it's not possible for those kind of thoughts to exist when we're in full laughter, because the positivity of laughter is just overpowers any kind of negativity, and what's great about it is everybody really knows that, you know, everybody who's laughed, which is pretty much everybody, I think.
You know, it's really true. And I know when I'm doing my energy sessions on people, you hit the nail on the head when you said the heart, because what I find is that the heart chakra itself, it rules all other, it governs the other chakra centers.
Yes.
In fact, I've actually seen where it'll send like a lifeline down to other centers that aren't working. And one of the key components to healing when you're doing energetic therapeutics is to get, and to balance people out, is to actually to get that heart chakra opening and working properly, so that love can both get, you know, you can release love, open your heart up to receive it in, but also give it out too.
Yes.
The yin and yang of that, you know.
Yes.
And that's so important. And laughter does that so well. And many of the sessions where there's blockages in that area, and I free that up, you know, a lot of people just have uncontrollable laughter.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I can imagine that they would. It would just spontaneously arise, because every child's born full of laughter. We have an infinite source of laughter from within us. And all we have to do is, in the work you're describing, is start freeing ourselves up. And you free up the heart, the laughter is going to pour out. Sure, and the love, of course.
Yeah, well, so, I'm excited about what you're doing here. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, just to say a little bit more about love, what I love with the laughter is that it's doing all this healing for the body we've been talking about. It's also opening up the heart for us. So we get all these benefits all together. And laughter's free as well, which is another good thing about it.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, that's very inexpensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course the other thing is laughter helps with the mind. If we have, you know, the mind is just driving us crazy, then you can't think and laugh at the same time. When you're in those split seconds of pure laughter, the mind isn't there making problems and and all of that.
Driving you crazy.
Yeah. It's just not there, and it gives us a respite from it. It gives us a break from it.
Everybody needs that.
And everybody needs that, exactly. And it also helps to kind of clean out the mind. It helps that, you know, when we get too much clutter in the mind with information overload, then the laughter, it helps to kind of clean it out. So it leaves the mind fresh and clear.
It's a form of mental detox.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I find, and many of my students do too, that laughter is one of the best meditations for unleashing our creativity. I find very often in the sitting part, when we sit in silence, you know, all these ideas pop up, which is, of course, about, you know, having real world success, because creativity, creative help us in the world to make money for ourselves and our lives and so on. So it's amazing how many benefits there are to laughter.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a wonderful thing. So tell me a little bit about the Laughing Buddha Network.
Well, I founded the Laughing Buddha's Network about a year and a half ago, because I have the Laughter Meditation 101, 202, and 303 teleclasses. And my first students that were going through the program, they kept not wanting it to end.
So, yeah, who wants to quit laughing?
Yeah, they didn't. Well, when's the next one, you know? So after Laughter Meditation 303, for which they get a certification as a Laughter Meditation Coach, and they've really completed everything, I had the idea to found the Laughing Buddha's Network so that we can all stay connected, and it's free to join, and it's open. It's worldwide community now for everyone who wants to have more love, more laughter, more joy, and more inner peace for themselves and for the world. And
man, who wouldn't want to join that? I'm sorry I cut you off, but I was like, okay, that sounds good. Sign me up.
And, you know, because my vision is to bring, or I should say our vision is to bring laughter meditation to millions of people worldwide, because it goes beyond language. I mean, it doesn't matter what language people speak. We can laugh together and we can sit in silence together. Yet another benefit of laughter is that when you laugh with people, you know, maybe they're Japanese or Chinese or German, and if you don't speak their language and you don't speak yours, but you can still make an amazing connection with them through laughter meditation and have a community with them. So that's what the Laughing Buddhist Network is all about, and it's really growing quite rapidly.
That's a big, really cool vision.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I had a quote years ago that was one of mine that came to me when I was thinking about laughter, and it says, "In laughter, there is no communication." And that's so funny that you've done all this work with that, and that is exactly that. That was my thought years ago about that people have no language barrier in laughter, and that's really cool. When you think about that.
Yes, it's more like communion than communication.
Exactly.
Because communication comes from the mind, and it's the mind that always has the potential to mess things up. You know, when we say the wrong thing or we're thinking negative thoughts. But when we laugh together, there's no possibility to mess anything up. And also with them when we sit in silence together. So it's a very powerful way for people to come together in harmony with each other.
And you know what's really interesting about that, from an energetic standpoint, when you get a network like this resonating together on that same level through the laughter, they become open, like you say, the heart opens up and you can feel the love. And, you know, that's a great space
Yes.
when you get there. It's one of my quotes, go off into your knowing space, which lies deep within the center of your heart, for there you will find no questions, only answers.
Yes.
And when you get to that point that you're talking about, that is a very powerful creative space.
Yes. It's absolutely amazing. And I love your quote there, no questions, only answers, because what we find in the heart is the wisdom of the heart. And that's those answers from our own inner wisdom, which I feel is our own best friend, you know, and like our inner compass that we want to be able to listen to. So it helps us listen to our own inner wisdom and the wisdom of our hearts so that we are guided from within in our decision making and for our relationships and every aspect of our lives. So it keeps going deeper somehow, the benefits.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. I think that there's limitless potential there, you know?
Yes, it is limitless. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I've heard that whenever enlightened people become enlightened, the first thing they do is burst out laughing.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, totally. That laughter moment, you know?
Right, right.
And it's usually uncontrollable, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I certainly experienced uncontrollable laughter in some of the workshops I'm doing because, you know, when I first started, I thought, oh, I can't laugh like this. And then, of course, laughter's so infectious, and that's just the mind saying, I can't laugh. Laughter's so infectious that you can't not laugh, you know, when you're with this group of people.
Yeah, and, I can only imagine doing that. You know, I've never experienced that in a large scale other than, you know, you might be in a seminar like we give talks and stuff and you've heard, you know, when you make a joke or you say something funny or you know, just a certain expression and everybody laughs at one time, but it's still not that uncontrollable laughter that goes on and on. I could only imagine that in a large group or like some of the stuff you're talking about, that would be really cool, you know.
Oh, it's just absolutely amazing.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we'd love to have you join us.
Yeah.
You've got some upcoming things, don't you? You've got some classes?
Yes, I do. The next Laughter Meditation 101 teleclass workshop that I'm starting starts on September the 13th. And I started the teleclasses actually also with the help of my students because I have books published worldwide and I have people from all over the world interested in doing this. And I thought, okay, well, we can't leave these people out. So let's try it on the phone. It works.
That's a great way to do that.
That's excellent.
Yeah. It really does work. So I have people in Australia and Europe and of course in North America and so on. And everybody loves it. And so Laughter Meditation 101, it's 1 hour a month for 6 consecutive months. And all the calls are recorded so that people can listen to them if they miss the live call. And it also gives people a chance in between the calls each month to focus on the topic for the month and to practice their laughter meditation and just deliberately look for ways to bring more laughter into their lives. So it's very powerful. And, of course, those who want to train to be a laughter meditation teacher, I'm training them because that's how we can spread this all over the world.
Now, do you train I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify in case our listeners are wondering the same question I was. Now, can you do this training via the live teleseminars as well?
Yes, that's how we do it.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know if you did additional seminars too, you know, like live.
Well, I do additional in-person seminars, but for the laughter meditation, it's all teleclasses.
Okay.
Because I want that to be for everybody worldwide, and I also made it as inexpensive as I could because I want to encourage as many people as possible to come and join us. And I am doing a free call about it on August 30th. And all that information is on the homepage right there of my website,
So everybody can go to www.discovermeditationalloneword.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's www.discovermeditation.com for Pragita Dove, any of her information, her teleclasses. Let me ask you this. Can they also get your books there?
They can. My latest book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart, you can get on my website. You can also get it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. And then there's a lot more information in there. There's over 150 meditation techniques, actually.
That sounds fantastic. I would highly encourage all of our listeners to go check that out because, you know, it's been said for many years and decades that laughter is the best medicine. Mm-hmm. And in all my years of work, I have found that to be the most healing release of all. You know, you talk about tears of release and stuff, which is very powerful too. But I find that laughter really is the most healing of all those releases.
Yes, I think you're right. It has a powerful ability to heal the heart. And
so I'm excited about that in your book, too.
Thank you. And I would just like to address something Catherine said at the beginning of the call about being serious. One very important piece of information I learned when I started doing the laughter meditation was the difference between being serious and being sincere. And what I realized was that I can be sincere about meditation without being serious about it. And it changed my whole approach, you know, and that was because of the way I was conditioned that I thought laughter was sort of silly and frivolous, you know, mm-hmm. and I wasn't really being serious about things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I learned that I could be very sincere about it, then that put a whole different sort of perspective on it for me.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
So what you're saying is you can be sincere about laughter without being silly, let me make sure I'm getting this right. So you're saying that you can be sincere about, you know, what you're doing
mm-hmm.
without being too serious about it.
Without being too serious about it, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm very glad that you've clarified that, though.
I think that's very interesting, and I also heard you say at the beginning also, you gave the technique of laughter meditation gave you permission to laugh.
Yes, it did, because as I described my childhood, you know, I thought laughing was bad, basically, the way I was raised, that I shouldn't laugh too much. Well, I could laugh just a little bit. That was okay. And then, so that was a big breakthrough for me. And then with my students, it comes up a lot. So now when we start, when I start with a new group of students on the 101 training, I always just actually said, I am giving you permission to laugh as much as you want to laugh, because I found a lot of them, like me, felt it was wrong or they were punished or put down for laughing. So when I actually just give them the permission, it creates a shift for them, a mental shift, you know, that it really is okay to laugh as much as they want to. But it does bring up people's conditioning.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like it did for me, because I was raised in such a serious manner. And, you know, my parents' philosophy on life was, you know, life is a struggle that you get through. And that didn't appeal to me very much.
Yeah.
probably why I went off seeking some other solution to life, you know.
Yeah.
And found that laughter, tears, and silence were very important parts. You know, in your new book, Laughter, Tears, and Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart, I have always felt like in the work that I do and some of the work that other people do, like what you're doing, that, of course, all of those places that we talk about, you know, in terms of releasing and getting clarity, tears are very powerful for you know, relaxing the body, the mind, and just, it's a great way to cleanse, you know?
Yes.
And laughter being so important in that whole expressive, part of who you are, and, you know, in terms of your energy and resonating and all that, to get you, that both of those can get you to a nice silence place.
Yes.
In that quiet space, the knowing space that I talk about. Can you share a little bit about your book, you know, what you're touching on in that with this laughter, tears, and silence? I'm anxious to read that myself.
Oh, thank you. Well, the first third of the book is about the many dimensions of laughter, which I wasn't even aware of fully until I actually started writing the book, which is why it ended up being a whole third of the book. I give the story of Hotei, the Laughing Buddha, who was the Japanese 16th century Japanese mystic, who was the first enlightened mystic to teach laughter as a way to enlightenment. Because previously, Gautama, the Buddha, had taught the very wonderful sitting meditation, but Hotei taught laughter. And he'd go from village to village in Japan, and the villagers would ask all these serious questions about enlightenment, and he would just laugh. And of course, then they couldn't help laughing. And this is how they learned to find that place of no mind where they could just be. So he's our mascot now, Hotei the Laughing Buddha.
That's cool.
And I
I'm
sorry. I was just thinking there's a Laughing Buddha, that figure that sat in the doorway of my grandmother's home for my entire life.
Oh.
And then when she died, my mother has it now in her house.
Oh,
and
my
that's
goodness.
The image. He's the Laughing Buddha.
That's Hotei, yeah.
That's Hotei.
It's a big, and it stands up on a big pedestal.
Oh, wow.
That is very interesting.
Well, how fortunate for you, yes, because he is the mascot for our Laughing Buddha's network, of course. And, he was a very profound mystic. And how very fortunate for you.
Well, that's just so interesting.
It is.
6 degrees of separation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hotei's been in your life and your family's life all this time.
Yeah. Very cool. Huh. Okay. So I work as a therapist, and I deal with a lot of people with anxiety and depression and things like that. And I'm wondering, can laughter meditation help us with fears?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My experience is the two things that help most with fear are love and laughter. Because you can't be laughing and worried at the same time. You can't be laughing and afraid at the same time. They just can't exist together. And fear and worry, they're like a contraction, an energetic contraction.
Yes. Yes.
And laughter is an expansion.
Yes.
And
yes.
So when you make a deliberate practice, which you can do, you can start small, just start laughing, you know, watch comedy shows on TV or however you can do it, smile more often. You start inviting that energy of laughter and fun and playfulness and joy into your life more, and it grows because it's our natural state. Joy is our natural state, actually. And as I said before, every child is born full of laughter. It just got shut down. And fear can do that. Fear can paralyze us. That's what happened to me in my childhood. I just went into a kind of paralysis of fear. And the laughter helped me break out of that paralysis. It helped me get my, because laughter's energy, and it helped me get my energy back and refine my life force energy and break me out of the kind of straitjacket of fear that I got clamped down in. So it's a very, very powerful way to help heal fear, depression, and anxiety. Physiologically, not to mention psychologically and emotionally and so on.
Yes, you know, energetically, when you're resonating at fear or any of those negative emotions that you mentioned, mm-hmm. what happens is they close. I like what you use, contraction, there, because they actually begin to close down the heart chakra and energy centers.
Yes,
begin to contract them and close them down. And mm-hmm. laughter opens them up and resonates at a much higher consciousness level. So
right.
That's very important when you differentiate between those two. But, you know, on a daily basis, we're always challenged with certain things that trigger our emotion. Mm-hmm. And the key component to that is to find a way, like you're saying, and I think laughter is an excellent way to do that, where when you're triggered with a fear or one of those negative emotions, you can learn to, like, turn that laughter on, or to find something where you could trigger that emotion.
Yes, you can.
You know, that I would find to be a very effective and powerful way to, in overcoming some of these things.
Yes. Yes, it really is. And basically that's what I've done, because by the time I was in my late teens, I was just kind of numb and paralyzed with fear, and I was just completely shut down. And through, you know, this deliberate practice of the laughter meditation and all these other expressive techniques, I sort of re-energized my life force energy, and I was able to break out of all this inhibiting negative energy and find myself, you know, find my authentic self and find my joy and my playfulness and my creativity and my spontaneity and my imagination and my wonder and all those wonderful qualities that every child is born with. And that's my confidence in this meditation and all these meditations, because of what's happened to me. You know, from my own personal journey, I know that they work. And, you know, I'd be very happy to talk to either of you, and Catherine especially, you know, if you ever want to talk about any other laughter meditation techniques, although there's also some in my book, to help the people you work with mm-hmm. to heal their anxiety and depression and fear.
Because that would be awesome.
That's
yeah.
fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because there really is a way. There really is. And it's just a matter of, you know, being consistent with it. And you start small. You don't have to start with some raucous laughter if it's not there, if you're too depressed, you know. But you just start with the intention to bring more laughter and playfulness and smiling and so on. Some people are so shut down, they just start with smiling, and that's good. That's a great way to start.
For some people, that's a big start.
Yes, it is. And
I know people who never smile, no matter, even when you could say something funny or expressive, and everybody in the room smiles with them or laughs, you know?
Right.
Or people like that.
Right, and they just, you know, they just become so shut down out of fear. And there really is a way to start opening all that up, and people can start wherever they are. And it's very possible.
Well, that's very hopeful. I'm glad to hear that. And one of the things I think about, because I, Tuesdays are my busiest work days, and I have, really intense sessions back to back, and, just finish up and right before we go live. And I just think about being, you know, a busy working mom and the people I work with and friends of mine who juggle things. You know, we juggle kids and
yes.
housework, if that gets done. Maybe if we could find a way to laugh through housework, I wouldn't mind
yes.
as much. And, you know, the job I have is fairly, you know, some aspects of it are fairly stressful. Being married can bring up its own challenges. No, nothing personal, honey. And, you know, just the things that all of us go through. So so I take it you can see a way that laughter meditation and the expressive meditations help us stay more calm as we're navigating these,
yeah.
Parts of our daily lives that, yeah, I mean, I guess just navigate in a much more calm way where we can respond rather than react and
yes.
have more joy.
Exactly. Exactly. This is what got me through my son's teenage years, for sure. But, yes, you're absolutely right.
You're still laughing about it.
Yeah, we survived. And we both laugh about it now.
Yeah, right.
But I just
and we're laughing out. Because we're still going through it.
I do have a chapter about children in the book, in the laughter section, and children love the laughter meditation. And it's something parents can do together with their children. So it's a way to create a bond with your children that is nonverbal. So there's no possibility of starting arguments and or anything like that. And children these days, they need some meditation, some quiet time as much as us grown-ups do.
Oh, I see that, for sure.
And so that is my son's favorite meditations were the laughter meditation and the gibberish meditation.
Ooh.
And the gibberish meditation is very good for releasing anger and frustration, and it's also good for having fun. The first stage, you just talk in gibberish, and the second stage, you sit in silence. And I have CDs for all of these, too, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's
interesting.
Really good.
Yeah, the gibberish is very powerful, especially, you know, and it's good for couples to do together. Like if there's a topic that, you know, that's a kind of volatile topic that you got to talk about, if you do some gibberish meditation first and get the charge out and let off steam and then sit in silence and come to center and get in touch with your wisdom and then have your conversation. It's very powerful and can really save a lot of friction and arguments and bad things happening. And for sure that helped with my son going through the teenage years. I can't tell you. I was just so grateful I had some meditation to fall back on.
And
he always loved them too because he'd done them since he was a child, you know. So he was used to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can use them sort of for preventative, you know, and sort of plan to have your discussion after the meditation.
So that's how laughter and play lead to deep meditation and silence?
Yes. Yes. Because if you can laugh together and if you can play together and if you can sit in silence together, then you can do everything together. You know, then there's nothing that you cannot overcome. There's nothing you can't talk about or work through. Because it just brings forward your wisdom and your kindness with each other and the self-love and the love for each other. And it's just a foolproof remedy in my experience for sure.
It's so funny how my 5.5-year-old and my 9-year-old, sometimes they'll sit, you know, I teach them Kung Fu and they'll sit in meditation, you know, they'll sit in the different poses that I teach them sometimes, and they'll say, and one of the kids will say to the other, please be quiet, I'm meditating.
Yeah.
It's cute at early age like that to see the kids, you know, doing that, learning it, you know.
Yeah, and it's fantastic that you are, because as I said, when they get to teenage, like my son, I mean, of course he went, of course, revolting against everything and rebelling, I should have said. Because then he didn't want to know about it, but the seed had already been planted in him from early. So the connection with us was already there, that unspoken bond of love that we've already been talking about, so that things never got too bad, you know, whereas I watched other families and everybody was just kind of spinning way out of control. And I particularly remember one time with my son, and he was just in a very bad space, and he was trying to wind me up, I know. Mm-hmm. And I was able to stay centered and not get caught up in it. And then I said to him, I said something like, so how can I help you with all of this? And it completely threw him because he was trying to pick a fight with me.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't going to go there, you know? And instead said, well, how can I help you with all this stuff you're complaining about, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's a very powerful, to change the dance
yes.
when we communicate. It's so powerful, and it feels so good to not engage when somebody's trying to hook you in.
Right.
That's a great space. But I wanted to go back to what you said about the unspoken bond of love.
Yes.
Because that's what I'm hearing so much about what this laughter meditation brings up. It's that communication, the communion that's beyond words.
Yes.
And I know what that feeling feels like, that energy of love, that unspoken bond of love that is so, it's just beautiful.
Yes. And it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I saw the time it was tested the most, as I said, was when my son was in his teenage years. And it was a bit like, you know, there was a cyclone going on of him, you know, doing his teenage thing. But yet somehow, because I was able to stay centered, a bit like an oak tree, you know, because I have roots, I got my roots deep within myself. So that, you know, my oak tree, it would bend a bit, of course, with this hurricane of him swirling around me, but I was not knocked down because I'd become so deeply rooted in myself. And it's just energetic. Nothing was said, but energetically, because I could stay centered, then it helped him to become centered.
Eventually. You know, my grandmaster used to say, we too must be like the tree. The deeper the roots, the stronger the tree.
Yes. And that's exactly what you get from this meditation, well, from all the meditations, is a deep rootedness in yourself, so that when the hurricanes of life come along, as they do, because that's how life is, then, you know, you might sway a bit and lose a few pieces of fruit or leaves, but you won't be knocked down. And you'll come right back up pretty quickly from whatever happened.
That's flowing in harmony with wherever you are, you know, at that moment in time. That's an important point.
That's right. And the other thing I've noticed is if I get on the phone with a person, for example, and they're really like in a high state of anxiety, and because I'm so centered and I also know I am not going there, they're going to have to come, you know, to me.
Exactly.
And they do. And that's the power of one person being centered. It helps the other people around them come to center as well. Like, it's almost like a force of gravity. And again, it's all unspoken and energetic. So we're not only benefiting ourselves, but there's this ripple effect, so that everybody around us benefits as well, especially our immediate family and our children and so on, but everybody we come in connection with.
So what are your best suggestions for people new to meditation or those who have tried it and given up?
Well, I always say to people, what results do you want from meditation? Because a lot of people have this kind of vague idea about it and think you have to sit there, you know, chanting mantras or something. And I say, what result do you want? Do you want to feel more calm? Is it because, you know, you get really angry and don't know what to do with your anger? Or is it because, you know, you having a particular problem with relationships, or you don't know what your purpose is in life? So first of all, I ask them what result they want. And then, as I've said, I've got over 150 techniques in my book. And then I explain to them, for example, I could give them the 30-second stop technique, which would help to get through a busy day. I can give you techniques for grief, disappointment, jealousy, fear, you know, the uncomfortable emotions. And the expressive techniques, of course, one of the best ones to start with is the laughter for so many reasons that we've been talking about, and also because it's fun and it's easy. And it's a very easy way to get into the inner silence. And then you feel you're having success. You know, then you feel that you really are getting some benefit, and then you want to continue. Because ultimately, we want to be consistent and keep it going.
Absolutely. That's, you know, and I know we've got about 3.5 minutes left. I cannot believe the show. We didn't take any breaks or anything because we wanted to hear everything you had to say. So, you know, we really appreciate your sharing all your wisdom and experience with us. I think that, you sharing your story and knowing the pain, the painful childhood that you came from helps other people know that there's hope for them. So yeah. It sounds like you know that, that it is possible to heal pain through these meditation techniques,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So people are able to use these techniques with grief and pain?
Yes. Yes. That's in the tears section of the book where I talk about all those, you know, and I also talk about death and dying and compassion and forgiveness. And anger, of course, and pain and grief, because usually people don't know what to do with their pain. And
right.
So they avoid it and they stuff it down. Of course, that just makes it worse.
Right.
And so there's meditations, for healing pain and grief. And as soon as you accept it, the key is acceptance. Accept it and relax into it. And put it in the sacred context of a meditation technique, then the healing can begin. And I know this because this is how I healed my pain. I had a tremendous amount of pain in my heart. And I just had to sit there, you know, doing these meditations for grief and pain. But of course, what helped was I'd intersperse it with the laughter. so that you don't feel like you're in this endless veil of tears, because
right.
after a while, at the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I'm crying a lot now, but at some point, I'm going to do the laughter meditation again, you know, and plug back into the joy. So it's like the comedy of life and the tragedy of life.
Balance, yes.
The balance, yep. yes. Mm-hmm. And addressing them and not being in denial. And there's tools and techniques that do work, these meditation techniques, to heal the pain and the grief. And it will transform over time into emotional stillness and silence and wisdom. And, of course, that is what leads us to compassion, the highest form of love. That's where my compassion for others, well, compassion for myself and compassion for others, because I've been there, you know?
And
it's so important that you know, you hit on something very important, compassion for others and self. I always say that the greatest gift you can give to others is to love yourself first.
Yes.
Because you can't give from an empty cup.
That's right.
And so it's very important that we all get to this space, you know, that acceptance is so important, and then it leads you to, you know, the next phase, and what you get to a point of the awakening and then the silence and the enlightenment. And you have joy and peace and love, like you said, and that leads to that compassion for others. And it's a great, great way to, you know,
we've got
to
about
really
5 seconds
yourself.
Left. So
well,
we're
listen,
have to
thank
continue.
You very much for being on our show, Pragito.
My joy.